Now, you just mentioned that you're getting more and more into the electronic direction. What's going on with that? Where is this coming from?
A couple years ago, went back to school. I'm working on a PhD in experimental music and digital media at LSU. And I'm fortunately done with the coursework, so I don't have to drive to Baton Rouge anymore.
Nice.
Just have to get a dissertation done. And that all sort of came from the idea of my wife, who has worked tirelessly supporting my craziness, saying, you know, I wouldn't mind not working forever. And I said, well, I'd be happy to get a real job, but sort of the easiest way to do that is for me to go to where the arts are subsidized these days, which is the universities. Mm-hmm. And I said, to do that, I need to go get another piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But it's been great. The program up at LSU is very cool. It's allowed me to explore my technical, technology-driven side. And it's really, I found, influenced my acoustic improvising in very interesting ways.
Like what?
Well, the first few times I had to sit down and make a, you know, fixed media electronic piece, what in the old days they would call a tape piece, except fortunately there's no tape involved now.
What? Tell me about it. Let's really get into this here.
Things in the tradition of the musique concrète French school of abstraction of sound.
Okay.
And acousmatic pieces where you can't identify the things that you're hearing so that they take on another quality or can be used in other ways. And synthesized sounds out of the history from Cologne and the electronische music and Stockhausen and those guys. You know, putting pieces together in those traditions made me really look at these abstracted sounds and say, okay, what about this is compelling? Mm-hmm. Why do I like, what makes this music? You know, and it's funny because students will ask you that. You know, you play something weird and they say, oh, that's not music. Why is that music? And so when in your own work, you have to ask yourself, what about this is musical? And doing that on this electronic level of looking at these gestures and these abstracted sounds and figuring out ways to arrange them in manners that I find compelling and musical carries over into my more abstracted acoustic improvising. Mm-hmm. When I find myself in noisier situations, I'm asking those same questions.
What is it that in that that you think brings about these questions?
Well, you know, in electronic music, there's been some really great music, and there's also a long tradition of bullshit.
Explain the bullshit.
I mean, some of the stuff's just bad.
And what are the features that make it bad?
It's not compelling. It's not music. That's part of the question, is trying to figure out what makes it bad. Why is this piece good and this piece not? Uh-huh. And I can't tell you, okay, X, Y, and Z make this good and A, B, and C make that bad. I don't know that I have those answers at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think really critically looking at what we do with the intention of, this has to be good. I can't just do this just to do it. I want it to be good. Now, granted, a lot of the things that we deal with are experimental in nature, and sometimes experiments fail. Mm. You know, especially in a live improvised situation, you know, sometimes it's going to be better than others. Mm. If it's a group of people improvising, you're on the edge of that cliff, sometimes you fall off. But if I'm making a piece that's a fixed media piece, that's a composition that I can go back and edit, there's no reason to put one out that's bad. You know, like, mm-hmm. I want it to be good. I want to sit and listen to it and have some experience that is worthwhile. It's not to say that it has to be beautiful or it has to make me feel good, you know, but it needs to make me feel something other than the desire to turn it off.
Mm. And so now what level of... So that was what you started doing, was the music concrète and all this, which is...
And I'm still doing some of that. It was funny, today in the car, my daughters, I had the iPod on shuffle, and this Chicago Underground duo track came on. It started with these electronics. And my oldest daughter, Jessica, says, Dad, is that some of your music? I said, no, that's not me. That's a friend of mine. And she says, oh, do you still have to make computer music? Because it's really annoying. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, no, my next piece, you're going to love my next piece. It's all made out of bird sounds. Mm-hmm. And she says, she's already figured it out. She says, are we going to be able to tell that they're bird sounds? I was like, great. My 10-year-old has figured out music concrete. It's so beautiful.
I like this because I like the fact that the kids now, they're comfortable with computers, but not computer music.
But they never brought up the question of, is it music?
Yeah.
But, like, it was just assumed, oh, it's music. It's just music that I don't like.
So the other kids, the kids that you're teaching, that when you put on something like that, their question is, what makes it music?
Yeah.
What's different for them than the 10-year-old?
Well, for my kids, it's because they've been hearing these weird-ass sounds come out of my office their whole life. You know, no one ever told them there's this line. And I find that with young kids in general. You know, I've played with...
So the other kids, you think there's some place where they were told there's a line. This is not music. Or, you know, like...
Yes, at some point in their early to mid-development, they read a Stanley Crouch article and...
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, the interviews I've done here, you know, and they're all the local people. Music Concrete comes up a whole bunch for Aurora Nealon. She talks about this a lot. This is a lot of her education. But, you know... The delineations of what is musical and what aren't are really important. Like, you know, I did Rex the other day, and of course, a lot of that interview is about a book called All the Rest is Noise.
Oh, that's a great book. I love that book.
So did he. Loved it. You know, very interesting. It had a big impact on what his last record was about. All that book. But, you know, I find it, the title there is very penetrating, All the Rest is Noise, which is to delineate between what is music and what is not, since mostly music is, you know, even by definition, even by dictionary definition, is pretty much eliminating or creating a delineation between noise and
well, you know, a lot of people, I say a lot of people, in the electronic music world, the term sonic art has become popular. Instead of having the argument of, is this music or not?
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I'll concede that point. I don't care what you call it. I'll call what I do sonic art. Listen to it. You know.
Yeah, of course. If you know, for me,
is it music is kind of like the is it jazz thing. Does it really matter?
Well, sort of, except that it creates another level of prejudice, which is this. I can tell you right now, there's a whole series... Well, there was recently at the Tate Gallery in England, on, you know, they were running different sequences of sound design, sound art type things like that. It clearly creates a class division between those people and people doing what most people consider music. You can't get in that gallery playing certain kinds of things. It's like trying to get a gig. In other words, if you call it sound art, just off the label, hey, man. We got
that's true.
We got a gallery thing. Very funny thing now. So this is an irony, right? You know, in other words, you've changed.
Well, so just call the next Naked Orchestra record sound art, and we're in. We're at the Tate.
But I mean,
6 months at the Tate. Woo!
You know, why don't we just see what we got? I mean, really, they really need to get this one together in the classical world. You know, like next time they're doing Mahler, just call it sound art, and you know,
there's got to be some four-foot German word that Mahler used that you know.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. There's a 4-foot German word for it. You know, you know, if he didn't use it, Wagner did. It's, okay, so you're in the electronic music thing now, and the other thing, but you're going more and more in that direction. And where do you have an idea of where you want to go, what you're trying to work on now, what it's about, especially, you know, now you're at the back end of the academy. What's your dissertation about?
My dissertation project at this point is I'm writing a computer program that will function as a duo improvising partner.
Okay.
And there will be some technical and hopefully musical features that will differentiate it from some of the other improvising computer programs.
Can it hang with you after the gig and drink?
That's the part that's really going to put it over the top and make it work.
That's right.
And part of the thing is I want to have it like a little bit programmable in terms of personality. You know, so you can tell it when it's in Capello mode, it'll drink Budweiser. When it's in, you know, when it's in Rex Gregory mode, it'll only drink fine scotch. It'll, you know, so
that's great. Okay, so it's going to be a duo. Is you going to improvise? It says it's programmed so you can improvise the computer's duo. Okay, so then so we got that. Now, what are your aims now? What do you got up?
My aims for that project or in general?
In general, what's on your mind right now?
You know, right now, finishing that or getting that going is taking a lot of my creative energy. Part of the process of doing that's going to involve doing a bunch of improviser interviews, which I'm very excited about. I need to teach the machine to listen, but I got to figure out what to make it listen for. Mm-hmm. And so I want to interview some improvisers and try to figure out what they listen for. Because I could make the machine behave like I do, but I would like it to be a little broader than that.
What do you listen for?
You know, I would probably have to define that for myself as well. I tend to listen in broad generalities. Mm-hmm. I hear shapes more than specific notes. I hear large gestures more than the internal flourishes of a line. I tend to sense levels of energy. I tend to react on the larger scale like that. Whereas I know certain guys will hear a line and man can spit that line right back at you, note for note. And that's not a skill that I'm gifted with. Mm-hmm. But I can imitate the shapes of lines and contours of lines and the vibe of what someone is playing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of how I hear things. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, and then what do you think an audience person is hearing? Do you think they understand what you're talking about? Are those things that you want to listen for, or is there something else that you'd like to listen for? Or is this a limitation, or is this...
Like, as an audience member, or as a musician?
I asked two separate questions there. It wasn't fair of me. The first question was... let's go over the second question first. Are those things that you want to hear? Is that the way that you want to hear music? Does that have valuation somehow, or is there some other way that you...
I think it is the way I do hear music.
Okay.
I could work on changing that. Yeah. If I wanted to hear in this very specific manner and catch all the minutiae, I'm sure I could dedicate some time to like making myself listen that way.
So it is a choice, then.
I guess so, but it's a choice. It's a choice largely governed by natural inclination. I mean, I think I tend to naturally hear that way. Mm-hmm. I tend to think and fairly broad generalities as well, you know. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't common to just the way I hear. Mm-hmm. But the way I think about things are in sort of larger chunks, and I'm not so worried about the details. I think there's some inclination to that, but I think the style of music that I play is a choice, but it's also largely due to my natural predilections. The things that I do well, I feel like in free improvisation situations and more outside things, that I just, what I do is more effective than the way I play like in a bebop situation. Mm-hmm. Which isn't to say I couldn't spend a bunch of time like really getting my bebop stuff together and do that. But that's not naturally how I hear music.
So, because you think you have a different internal language than what would create what's going on in a bebop situation. Is that accurate?
I think my tendency is towards different priorities, yeah.
Okay. And earlier on you were talking about what it really is you, and so is this understanding this way that you work internally with music, is this what you... Do you think that is an achievement or some level of achievement in the direction of what it was that you thought, let's say, when you started thinking that there was something more that needed to go on trombone?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was the beginning of a path that has had, you know, several markers along the way and things that set up that sort of point you in a direction or light a path. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I've like ended up here for a reason. I think the things I'm doing now are some realization of me in 1997, 98 thinking I'd like to be more creative.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it meant, is being more familiar with.
Yeah, a lot of it was finding myself. Mm-hmm. You know.
And so you found this out about yourself, that you hear this way. It was very interesting.